Welcome to the Word Podcast. The Lord God has given us His Word. Let us learn it. Let us live it. Let us rejoice in it. Spread the Word.
Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me on the Word Podcast. We continue on in Hebrews, in the ninth chapter of Hebrews. Folks, some profound, profound truths here. We've already seen in the first few verses how the Spirit is leading the author to talk to the recipients of this letter and to us also about the Old Covenant and the tabernacle and the structure of it and what was going on there and what happened. Remember, you're sitting there thinking, well, what is all this about? And then in verse 8, he said, the Holy Spirit is signifying this. Well, signifying what, right? The Holy Spirit is signifying this, that the way into the holy place has not yet been disclosed while the outer tabernacle is still standing, which is a symbol for this present or for the present time. Now, that's the present time from the perspective when he was writing, right? Accordingly, both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make the worshiper perfect in conscience, since they relate only to food and drink and various washing, regulations for the body imposed until a time of reformation. Then in verse 11, but when Christ appeared, that right there, when you see that type of phrase, but when Christ appeared, does that not immediately within your spirit and your emotions, you go, uh-oh, something's happening right here. Something is, that word but is so powerful. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. That is to say, not of this creation. In verse 12, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood, he entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Eternal redemption, not just the type of thing where you would offer a sacrifice and it would give an atonement for a period of a few months, for a year, then you do it all over for the nation, or for just to cover a sin. See, there was never really forgiveness of it in the sense of true redemption. But Christ did something totally different. As a high priest, remember the most high priest, the great high priest of the order of Melchizedek. A different order, a different way than the law. And he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle. What is the greater, more perfect tabernacle? Not made with hands? That is to say, not of this creation? There's a greater, more perfect tabernacle that is not made with the hands of man, not of this creation, of the earthly creation. Okay? Not of this that man condemned. And he says also, not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood. It is through his own blood that he entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. So Jesus obtained eternal redemption for mankind by his own blood, and he entered the holy place. Now, I'd like to tell you that I completely and totally understand all of this. But I don't, because, you know, we see things here, and I know what it means, and I know what it's talking about, but that doesn't mean that I understand it all the time, okay? In other words, there is a greater, more perfect tabernacle. So is that speaking of the throne room of God? Because we know that the tabernacle, the Mosaic tabernacle, and the tabernacle of David, and the temple of Solomon, that these are all pictures and foreshadowings and typological type of things in relationship to a reality that is somewhere else. So, is the greater and more perfect tabernacle where the Most High God is dwelling? Is that what's being spoken of here? And it says, but it's not of this creation. Well, I can sort of live with that because, you know, we see where God created everything, but we don't have an account of where God created where he resides. He made the heavens and the earth. And, you know, we flippantly want to say, well, he lives in heaven, and we don't even really know what we're talking about, about such things, you know. But then not only is it a greater and more perfect tabernacle, but that Jesus entered the holy place once for all. So the holy place here on earth is a picture of something that is in heaven. And we do see that through the balance of Scripture. You see that type of picture, that what God told him to build here, what God allowed David to do, what he allowed Solomon to do in building the temple. All that is a picture of something that Jesus entered in, but he entered in by his own blood, by his own blood. And so we see, but I tell you what, we see in a mirror dimly right here. But I really encourage you that you sort of consider these things. And when you read these passages, to take it to mind, to take it to the heart, take it to the Lord and say, Father, what's being said here? There's something more profound about all this than I think we know at the moment. Now, verse 13, he continues on. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling, those who have been defiled sanctified for the cleansing of the flesh. So he's saying these are the things that if your flesh was defiled, they would sanctify you. They would cleanse your flesh. The blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer. And these are all things that you find over in the Old Testament in relationship to tabernacle worship. He said, if these did this, verse 14, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself up without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Now, those two verses, verses 13 and 14, are actually a question. Okay? Let me read again. And I want to see if you see how he's asking the question. I want to see if there's something else that leaps out at you. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of heifer sprinkling those who have been defiled, sanctified for the cleansing of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself up without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? There's actually several things here to note of tremendous interest, okay? Just a couple of them because our time's running short. Let me work it backwards right here. You see right here that it is only the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that cleanses our conscience. And it cleanses your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. So you have this works and serving, dead works to serve. So we go from the dead works of the law, where it's just the blood of bulls and goats. You go to where your conscience is clean. See, the law never cleansed your conscience. But he's saying the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ will cleanse your conscience. He says, how much more? He said, if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes helped to cleanse you when you were defiled of the flesh, now your conscience will be cleansed, and you'll be cleansed from dead works to serve the living God. In other words, to bring forth the works you're supposed to. Another point in this verse, verse 14, that is great. How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God? You know, you likely know that nowhere in the Bible do you see the word Trinity. You see throughout the Scripture, particularly in the New Testament, the triune nature of the Godhead. And a lot of it is manifested in verses like this. Notice how it said, the blood of Christ. With the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, you have Christ, you have Spirit, and it was through the Spirit that he offered himself without blemish to God. You have the Son, you have the Spirit, you have God mentioned. And you see some really interesting nuances here on what happened when the Lord offered himself up. How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God? What is that all about? You know, so often when we're reading the Gospels, we think it's Jesus and God and just relationship with them. But right here, the eternal Spirit offered himself. So the eternal Spirit offered Christ without blemish to God. How was the Lord empowered to live without blemish? By the eternal Spirit. How was he empowered to offer himself without blemish to God? Through the eternal Spirit. Some interesting things right there. Anyway, take it to heart. Go back and read the ninth chapter a little bit before you recline upon your night bed this evening to see what the Lord speaks to you. Again, I'm Dale. I'll see you again next time. Goodbye.